Coming up on this episode of the Sarlacc Pit Podcast, Mark Picciarilli from YodasNews.com joins us to discuss our top five Darth Sidious Palpatine moments from the saga. Mark also gives us the details of YodasNews.com's huge giveaway happening all month long. We also chat Star Wars Rebels Episode 7, Gary Oldman, and The Chosen One on this episode's Things That Make You Go, All that and more coming up on the Sarlacc Pit Podcast, and it starts right now.
We just got to the Sarlacc pit.
And the powerful Pleiades.
The almighty Sarlacc.
Binds the galaxy together.
All-powerful Sarlacc.
Its energy surrounds us and binds us.
Welcome to the Sarlacc Pit, official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and YodasNews.com, the fans podcast. So grab your lightsabers and join your hosts Matt Krenke and Chris Hoffice Planet for this round of discussions.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, to the Sarlacc Pit Podcast, a podcast to help you digest everything in the Star Wars universe. Sarlacc Pit is brought to you by GalacticBinder.com and YodasNews.com, and we thank Pete, Doug, Mark, and the rest of the folks over at Galactic Binder and Yoda's News for their support of the podcast. This is episode number 72, February 7th, 2013. If you're new to the show, my name is Matt the Crankster Krenke, your co-host, and let me welcome in your co-host and creator of the Sarlacc Pit Podcast, Mr. Chris Hoffice Planet Smith. What's up, Chris? How you doing?
Pretty good. Been real busy, but oh my gosh, it's been forever since we've recorded.
It has. You know, you've been watching that new plasma TV you got. You know, what are we gonna do? I couldn't get you away from it. You're watching Star Wars on that damn thing. Come on, we got to get recording here. No, how's that thing been, man?
Oh, it's been awesome.
Blu-ray, Star Wars. Yes. Hey, what do you think?
That and football. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Some good football on there.
Hey, well, football's over, but we're going to talk some Star Wars, and we got a fun show today. We're going to be talking our favorite, Emperor today, giving you our top five Darth Sidious Emperor Palpatine moments. But before we do that, let me welcome in our guest from YodasNews.com. We got him back on the show to chat some stuff, Mr. Mark Picciarilli. Mark, thanks for coming back on. How you been?
Very good. A little cold and trying to thaw out from the ice storms that have hit us out here. Power's back. Internet's back today, finally. So things are looking good. Having fun on the site, giving stuff away, and happy to be back on the podcast.
Yeah, well, that's exactly where we were going with this, man. You got, Yoda's News has got some huge things going on right now. I mean, let's just start with that, Mark. Let's want you to tell us what's going on in this big contest.
Like every year, on our anniversary in February, we've been doing it since our first anniversary, and now we're doing it for our 10th. We basically solicit all our sponsors, our friends, artists, everyone in the community, and say, hey, if you want to donate some items to us, we're giving them away to all of our readers and fans. And, you know, the first couple were small, were Hasbro figures and a couple of things here and there. And every year it seems to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And, last year was tremendous. I didn't even think we could top it. And then, this year for our 10th anniversary, I did pretty much the same thing I always do, just started around May because I knew about how big it was going to be. And, everybody was so receptive, from the online companies to sponsors to manufacturers like Gentle Giant and Sideshow, Cotobakia, Uncle Milton. Everybody was on board saying, yeah, we definitely want to, you know, help you celebrate it. And just a tremendous amount of prizes were sent to us. And to do something special, I wanted to do, I wanted to be able to give back to the readers and the fans in a way that no one really else has other than prizes. So I reached out to actually Lucasfilm and said, hey, I want to get a Star Wars artist on board, and I want to get, you know, items that I could make and give away. I want to do t-shirts. I want to do patches. I want to do art prints. But I wanted them to be more than just what you do for a convention here and there where you make them and they're not, you know, they're not authorized and people just let it pass because it's kind of a fan thing. I wanted it to be authorized. So I went through all the right channels and it took a while, but we were able to get 3 items authorized by LFL and we made 100 patches, 50 shirts, and 100 art prints from nice. Artist Lindsay Bush, and everything's being given away. You can't buy them. I've had literally dozens of emails from patch collectors. How much for one? And you can't buy them. You gotta, you know, just follow the site, the pages and things like that. And if they see me at New York Toy Fair next week, I may have a few in my pocket. But, yeah, so it was really cool to add that into all the other things that were just given away. And I think we've done 7 or 8 already. And I have over 300 prizes this month to give away.
Wow. 300 prizes in a month. And you're talking like the big boys, Mark.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're not talking just, you know, Hasbro 3¾-inch figure. I mean, you're talking the who's who of collecting, manufacturers. So, I mean, this is huge. So, I can't believe it's been 10 years. 10 years, really?
Yep, dang. 10 years. We actually started, I started working on it at the end of 2003, and we were building the pages and building the content, and we launched February 1st, 2004.
Jeez. So, everybody that's listening right now, for them to jump on and be a part of this is simply going to the website, right?
It's so easy. Oh, yeah. Every time we do something, it's going to be put up on yodasnews.com website. We're doing special things just for Facebook fans, just for Twitter fans, just for Instagram fans, but I always let the other places know. Like tonight, we kicked off one on Instagram to win some Joe Caroni art stuff. He sent over some real exclusive print you could only get at the Detroit Star Wars Reads Day. It was a trio drawing with Chris Travis, Brian Rodd, and himself, and he sent over a bunch of those signed, including some promo cards from him. So we're giving that away. I'm doing it Instagram only, but I let the people on Facebook and Twitter know, and then vice versa. So all they have to do is check out one of the 4, and they'll be able to know what's going on. The biggest one going on right now is the Chewbacca premium format from Sideshow.
Oh, I think it's sweet.
We kicked that off yesterday, and that's going to be open for a week. The Boba Fett Deluxe Comic-Con and a shirt patch and art print just ended yesterday. I'm actually going to be posting up the winner tonight. But we had 9,000 people enter that. So it's going to take me a couple hours to weed out the people that, you know, did it more than once per day. And then once I get down to the actual legitimate number, I'll run the randomizer program, which basically just picks a random number, which I assign to the email. So if it picks number 815, whichever happened to be email 815, we'll go ahead and post that up as the winner, as long as they included the information that we required. And then we've got 2 or 3 more going on for little things, whether it be just patches. You know, I'll throw up randomly, hey, who wants a patch? And then post a number or post a picture. Like the other day, I did post a Yoda picture and just pick someone at random from who posts and get him a patch. But tons and tons of big stuff coming. Most of the bigger stuff's going to come after I come back from Toy Fair. But, okay. I mean, we have a mini Boba Fett from Gentle Giant, and you could never buy that. Never for sale. It only came in the backpack of the Christmas Yoda, and they were very limited. But we actually have a carded sample they sent to us as a giveaway. So whoever wins that one's going to be someone that has literally a one-of-a-kind item outside of the Yoda. And we've got jumbo figures, mini busts, literally cases and cases of Black Series.
Wow.
4 or 5 Kotobukiya statues. And something I really didn't even say yet, but I'll break it right now on the podcast. We've got $100 gift cards to Big Bad Toy Store, $50 gift cards to Big Bad Toy Store, $50 gift card to AP Collectibles. So we have not only stuff, but we have actual just cash to give out. You can go online, shop, buy whatever you want.
This is crazy. Chris, this has got to be like the biggest, you know, giveaway that any website, any Star Wars website that's ever done. I haven't heard anything bigger. Have you?
Yeah, no websites do anything like what Mark does. I mean, it's a month-long giveaway. I mean, he's got so much stuff. He's like, it almost seems like daily you're throwing something up there, which you probably are now.
The biggest year we had before this year was last year. We had just over $5,000 worth of stuff donated. This year, we exceeded $7,000. And that doesn't include all the patches, t-shirts, and art prints, which I bought out of pocket so that the only way you can really get the LFL authorization is to make the agreement you won't sell anything. Because obviously I'm not a licensee, so I wouldn't be making a profit. So you have to provide all the paperwork and everything and prove that I paid for them out of pocket and that I'm going to just give them away. But it was well worth it to have that stuff. And, you know, to have that in just to have items out there in people's collections that has Yoda's news on it and the artwork that Lindsay worked on, and it's just a really fun time of the month for me.
It's a great piece of art that she did. Matt, have you seen it yet?
Is it? I don't know if I have.
Look on the pull up Yoda's news right quick.
It's right there. Okay.
Yeah, it's right there on the top.
Okay. Yeah.
It looks like a stamp, and it's just like when I first saw it, I was like, it didn't sink in until I realized, 10 years, duh, there we go. It just, for whatever reason, didn't sink in, but that is a really cool piece.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Thank you. Yeah, Lindsay and I went, it was all Lindsay's idea. I told her I wanted something to represent 10 years, and she kindly donated her time, did the entire design and everything for free for us, and so that we could get it submitted and get it approved by LFL. And I told her I wanted something to symbolize 10 years. I wanted Yoda, and I wanted, you know, just the years on there, and she just went and had the idea of doing it like a 10-cent stamp and putting the years, and she drew that Yoda where he's kind of looking up, admiring the 10 years and the date stamp on it. There's actually some stuff hidden in there that we're going to be putting up for a contest a little bit later in the month. So much went into it. I mean, I know people look at it and be like, oh, that's cool, but she worked on it back and forth for weeks, tweaking the design. And then once it was done, you have to actually do additional tweaks to interpret a digital artwork into the cliche and then also into a printable for a t-shirt, and then the patch is another third form of art. So she really worked with us a lot to make sure that the patches are, they look unbelievable. The patches look like little photographs that Mike Kurtz over at Fanboy Swag had to be designing them for us and make them for us, and they came out fantastic.
Yeah, it does really look great. You mentioned Joe Caroni too. He's been on the show a couple of times. Good dude, and great artwork too. So you got Toy Fair coming up. Anything you're looking forward to in Toy Fair, or is it all up in the air for you?
No, actually, we just did our last appointment scheduling today. I'll be leaving on Friday night, kicking it off with Hasbro's Collector event on Saturday the 15th. So they're doing their normal event at the Time Center in New York. It's from 12 to, I think, 3 like normal. So they're putting on a real good presentation. They'll be showing all the lines. Supposedly we're going to be getting some lot of new stuff we're going to see from Rebels that they didn't reveal at the UK fair. So hoping we'll see that and see some new Black Series figures. And then Sunday morning, we'll start with Lego, who's debuting two new lines in addition to the Star Wars. I think most of the Star Wars stuff, Chris has already posted about on the Lego pages. Mm-hmm. I think most of their stuff's been announced, but, you know, maybe we'll see some surprises for Star Wars. But I think this year for Lego, they're going to be focusing on the Lego movie, the Simpsons line, and the Ghostbusters that they're starting.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
The Ghostbusters. Oh, goodness.
Ooh. Yeah.
Echo One. I'm excited.
Well, that's good. What's that, Chris?
I said Echo One. I'm excited.
Oh, yeah. Echo One. There you go. What did you say, Mark?
I was going to say, then the rest of the days, you know, Sunday through Tuesday, they're at the main Javits. Like, the Lego does theirs ahead of time, Hasbro does ahead of time. But then the rest of the times, we have appointments booked with everybody, Kotobukiya, Uncle Milton, the people that make the headphones. You get so many emails when you're registered that if they're selling Star Wars soap or, you know, towels or kites or... Everybody wants you to come, so we have probably 25 appointments booked. We normally get to about half of them, but there's just so much to see. You can't. It's insane. It's just insane there.
Yeah, I know. It's you talked about the Black Series as well, so I'm all, me and Chris are all into that Black Series 6-inch stuff. So be interested to see what they do this year.
Yeah. Have you heard anything on that, Matt? Because I heard something about the fourth wave.
No, I haven't heard.
It said Anakin / Darth Vader. So I'm curious, supposed to be, and then it said Darth Vader separately. So like, Return of the Jedi Darth Vader, I believe. And then of course Anakin Darth Vader, which would be at the end.
Right.
And, the only thing I could think of right this minute, but there's only been a couple, Snowtrooper.
Good.
That was another one.
Yeah, no, that's good. And then we're supposed to get the Stormtrooper in the next wave, right?
Yeah, and this one coming up. It frustrates me that, I mean, why did they decide to put Han Solo in this second, you know, third wave, only three figures? Why not put Boba Fett, or common sense would have told him to put a Stormtrooper in there.
So yeah, because you can troop build with the Stormtroopers. Yeah. I can get you there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Stormtrooper or Boba Fett. But why Hutt?
Right.
I mean, yeah. Boba Fett's going for minimum $40 on eBay if you can ever find one.
Right.
I think they're going to put that out again.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to put... I think they're just going to re-release him. Aren't they already re-releasing the Obi again in the next wave? The same one?
I don't know. I haven't seen that wave yet.
I read something online about the wave that's going to have Chewbacca.
Yeah, Chewie, that's the other one.
Okay. But I think that wave has a repack Anakin, a repack Obi-Wan already in it.
Oh.
The only repack I thought they were doing was the Han in this next wave 3.
Wasn't that
great?
So we're getting a couple of waves in a row where we get a repack? Come on.
Yeah, when they only...
You know, give me a Stormtrooper or a Sandtrooper, like you said, so you can troop build.
Yeah, exactly.
Or at least the first 6 waves should have all unique figures, in my opinion. I mean, if you're only in wave 4 and you're already putting out dupes, unless that's like Chris said, Boba Fett, that's, you know, everyone's clamoring for, that every store you go to, there's every figure but him. I think there should be, but, you know, I'm thinking we're going to see at least 3 waves in New York, or I'm hoping we will. But, you know, we'll wait and see.
You know, the stores, or I should say Targets around here, because Walmart still aren't carrying the 6-inch, the only thing I'm finding in Targets now is Greedo and the Slave Leia. I'm not even seeing the Han anymore. They're gone.
Hmm.
Which is good. When I saw that, I was like, oh, great. So when the next wave comes out with the Han in it again, you know, who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see what happens in Toy Fair, so if we get any more clues of what's coming up. Let's talk about some news, or lack thereof, Chris, of going on with Episode 7. You know, it's crazy. It's been like over a month since our last podcast, and really nothing has changed. I mean, we got some stuff with Star Wars Rebels, but as far as Episode 7, it's still a lot of rumors. And the latest rumor is featuring a guy named Gary Oldman. Check out this clip here.
You've been in Harry Potter, you've been in Batman, you've been in Planet of the Apes, now Robocop. Star Wars, perhaps, next? Have you had any discussions along those lines?
They've called.
Yeah. That's as far as you can say.
Yeah. I don't know whether you have to be... I get a little more, I'm more cynical about it now. You know, I always believe it when I'm on the plane home. You know, the deal isn't done. So, but yeah, they've inquired.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'd love to see you in it.
I don't know. I mean, Planet of the Apes, and Harry Potter, and Batman, and Star Wars. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. You got a little bit of Gary Oldman saying that he's been called, which, you know, I think he's a good actor. He's a cool dude. I like everything he's been in. I think, you know, Batman and all the other stuff he's been in. RoboCop, apparently he's coming up in the new one. So,
you know,
what's that, Chris?
I was going to say, he's one of those actors that you can actually see him in a movie and not even know it's him, because he does so many varied roles. And there's been movies that I've been watching, and I'm like, who is that? And then it finally clicks with me. Oh, that's Gary Oldman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he is. He's a great actor, and they could have him in this, and we not even recognize him when he comes on the screen. So,
yeah, I know. Just another – and they talked about this guy named Jesse Plemons or something like that as being in it as well. And, you know, we got – like you said earlier, Chris, we were talking. Carrie Fisher supposedly said, you know – spilled the beans and said she was in it, but we know, what do we know? JJ's doing it. We know the script, I think, is done now, apparently, and they're going to start shooting in, was it April? I thought I saw something recently about them starting to shoot. So, you know, there's not a lot to say. Mark, it's been a while since we've had you on. What, anything as far as Episode 7 that you're looking forward to? Anything you want to see? What's your expectations of Episode 7?
I'll be honest. As of right now, they're low, which is on purpose. I'm doing my best to try to not get into all the rumors. I mean, obviously, it's hard because half of my job is reporting the news. But I try. Like, if I read about it, I'm trying to figure out which ones are credible versus which ones are just some guy went on Twitter and decided to say something and it got retweeted too many times and it had no basis. But I'm just excited to be getting a new movie. And to me, there really can't, and it's kind of sound cliche, there can't be a bad Star Wars movie. Even the prequels, where I liked them, I didn't love them all, but anything new Star Wars to me is fun. I like to see it. I take it for the entertainment value. I'm never looking for the original trilogy again. That was special. That was unique. That was my childhood. And I can close the book on that, and that's fine. And the new stuff is the new stuff. And I don't compare it to the original trilogy. I don't think you can. I don't think it's fair. I just am looking forward to enjoying, you know, more Star Wars and the standalone films. And Episode 7 is going to be a lot of fun. I mean, I'll be out there at the midnight showing, and I'm going to, you know, probably see it 5 or 6 times, whether I love it or hate it, just because it's a new Star Wars movie. And I'm going to take my daughter to it. It'll be, you know, one of her first ones where she actually knows about Star Wars now, not when I took her, you know, when she was younger. It's going to be fun for me, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think you said it best, is the expectation thing. It's hard not to get crazy excited and to have your expectations go through the roof. And I'm trying to do the same thing, but it's really hard to do, you know. And talk about some pressure. And JJ, man, he's got his work cut out for him to try to get this thing and knock this thing out of the park. I mean, he's part of the script. He's directing it. This is all on him. And I tell you what, I don't know if I'd want that pressure with Star Wars fans. You know how we are.
You know he's going to hear it regardless. It could be what most people consider the best movie of the new ones, and there'll be hundreds of people that are going to hate him for it, or hate this cinematography, hate the character choice. He's never going to win. I think he realizes that too after all the backlash he got with the Trek. But
the Trek,
you know, I think it's cool. He's a younger, you know, look at it. It's not, you know, George's vision, so to speak. It's now his. And I think it's going to be fun. I mean, I like so far that it hasn't been super hyped by them. I think the hypes come more from the fan sites, the rumor mills, the things like that. If you look at what they've been done lately, they're really kind of hush-hush on it. They're announcing things here and there, but it's not like, you guys remember when Episode 1 was coming. It was like a year and a half ahead of time, and we had Episode 1 potato chips, standees in the store, and it was like coming in 21 months, and it was just super saturation everywhere. Yeah. And I mean, it produced what? Think of all the junk that they put out around Phantom Menace. Just the amount of collectibles that were just horrible.
Yeah.
And I'm liking how, you know, they're not doing, I mean, who knows what's going to happen in the next 6 months, but I like right now how they're not overhyping it and just letting, you know, they're responding here and there to rumors, but for the most part, they're just like hush hush and just wait and see. I mean, I'm just looking forward to seeing it. And, you know, I hope that people don't hate it, because I don't feel like getting 150 emails. The new Star Wars got ruined by him. He ruined my Star Wars. It's going to happen. Anyway.
Watch people start praising the prequels more and hating the new ones, you know, or something like that. But
no, you said it right. You know, that's actually a good play by them. I think you said it best there, Mark. It's they're taking it slow. They're not oversaturating. They're not confirming anything. They're taking their time. You know, they said that script is done. You know, we've gotten a couple things about Williams doing the score, but you know, casting rumors and all that, they're not saying anything. But anything that you want to see, Mark? I mean, do you want to see the big three come back, or
just for nostalgia, I want to see Harrison Ford. I want to see Hamill. I want to see Fisher. I don't even care if they're cameos. I want to see, actually, I'd like a cameo by almost all of the ones that are still alive. I know. I want to see, you know, Peter Mayhew in there. I want to see Kenny Baker. I want to see, I would love little, very, very nondescript parts, you know, mixed in, if it fits the storyline, or even if it doesn't, like, just if it's a bar scene, have like a table in the back of the bar be, you know, Billy Dee Williams, Peter Mayhew, and Kenny Baker having a drink. It could just be them. They don't have to just sit in there. Just to me, the dream movie would be having little references to all the great characters I loved as a kid, but not in a cheesy way where they're dressed up and they're called, like, you know, Jedi Tutu Tom or something like that. Just as the actors themselves, as a little, like, a little role. And to be honest, I know it's not going to happen. I'd like to see David Prowse in one where you see his face, because all the negative stuff that's going on with him, I know it's never going to happen. But I still feel like that guy got a bad, you know, got a bad rep just for being aggravated, and now seems like he's just, you know, cast away for everything official. They won't even put his name on stuff anymore.
Oh, yeah, he's been blacklisted.
Yeah, and, I mean, who knows what went on behind closed doors, but, you know, they gave him the shaft to begin with the whole time, so, right. You know, how would you feel if you did all that, and then, you know, it was someone else that was your voice, even though I think, you know, James Earl Jones is great, and who knows what he would have sounded like otherwise, it would have been, if he would have been as memorable to us, but, yeah, seems kind of crappy to me.
So, the only other stuff, Chris, that's been kind of new is, of course, Rebels. There's lots of new stuff coming up about that. We got a new villain in the Inquisitor. They're talking about a movie they're going to do over the summer on the Disney Channel. So lots of stuff, or a lot more stuff coming out about Rebels because it's a lot closer.
Yeah.
Mark, what's your take on this, on the Star Wars Rebels? What do you think about this show?
I really haven't been following too closely other than, you know, the figures that were coming out that we saw some at the New York Comic Con preview party. But, I mean, it's going to be one of those things. I'm going to watch it. You know, I don't even know that I have that channel, but I really enjoyed the Clone Wars series and watching my family. I thought it was, you know, a fun way to get into it. So I'm going to get into it. I'm going to, you know, I don't know how much time I'm going to have to jump into all the characters. I seem to have a lot more free time when the Clone Wars was around. And now as I'm getting older and the family's getting older and the house is getting older, more and more stuff to do in my free time. So I don't know how much I'm going to be able to dedicate to a, you know, digging deep into it, but I'm definitely looking forward to watching it and, you know, see where it goes. I don't think it's going to disappoint. I mean, it, like I said before, I like anything Star Wars. I'll enjoy it at least for face value. I don't know about collecting how far I'm going to dig into it. If I'm going to start picking up stuff, I mean, I don't have room now for the stuff that I want, especially with a lot of these jumbo figures.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll pick up a select few things here and there. But it's going to kind of a wait and see for me. I really don't, you know, so far what I've read sounds good. I like the little teases they're doing at StarWars.com with, you know, this figure and then a chopper. You know, he's a cool little take. You know, they're doing the stuff to tie in, you know, the kids like they normally do.
Right.
But this one I think looks like it may even have a little more adult or teenage vibe to it, if that makes any sense. Whereas Clone Wars, I think, did have obviously a lot of dark moments, but I think they were really shooting for that kid audience with Clone Wars, at least initially on that Saturday morning cartoon, but in prime time. Where with Rebels, I think they're kind of trying to keep that same core demographic that's now 11, 12, 13, so to speak, and bring them back with kind of, you know, fueling it with the trilogy, but also keeping it with the whole cartoony and, you know, new characters and things that are new to that audience. So, you know, and Lego's already got, what, 4 or 5 sets planned that they showed already. So it looks like they're going to be ramping up the marketing and the toys for it. So I'll be selective in what I pick up. I'll probably at least pick up the Legos just because I love Legos.
Yeah, I've been on board on this show just because of the time frame, you know, a time frame we haven't really – we don't really know a lot about, so it's really cool. You know, they're skewing towards the end of that, end of the period in between 3 and 4. So that's kind of what's got me really intrigued about this. And, you know, the chance that we may see Vader on screen again. And, so yeah, I'm really excited about this. I'm looking forward to it. Animation style looks good. So, I'm looking forward to this movie that's supposed to be coming out in the summertime. So, and plus we got that new, like you said, Mark, that new character Chopper. I don't know how much he's gonna have to do with the show, but they're kind of doing the thing with this, like I think they're gonna do with episode 7, just kind of throwing little things here and there. Here's a little something for you, you know. Who knows how much Chopper's gonna have to do with the show, but
yeah, you know. I mean, look at Darth Maul and all the marketing that was done around
Darth Maul.
I mean, everything was Darth Maul. I mean, he was the poster. He was quote unquote episode 1, and then just bam, boom, done.
Yeah. Okay. He's done. Well, you know what? I'm gonna obviously bring that up later on when we talk about Palpatine. But let's, Chris, you ready to transition into, I got another thing for you guys. Mark, on the show, the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 shows, I come up with these new questions, after watching the saga. Things start to pop in my head and alternate, reasons and takes or whatever it is come to my mind. I want to take you guys to the Chosen One. I want to talk about the Chosen One in this week's or this episode's things that make you go. Things that make you go. Things that make you go. So I'm going to break it down to you guys here real quick. The Chosen One, right? We've always talked about the Chosen, or when you talk about the Chosen One, it's always Anakin. Lately, I've been thinking about the Chosen One, and when I hear different, when I see movies and I see episode one and they talk about the Chosen One, and I see episode two and three, and then we go on, I just wonder, was Anakin the true Chosen One? And take a listen to this clip here.
You need a midichlorian cube. The reading's off the chart. Over 20,000.
Even Master Yoda doesn't have a midichlorian count that high.
No Jedi has.
What does that mean?
I'm not sure. The Force is unusually strong with him. That much is clear. Who was his father?
There was no father.
I've encountered a Virgins.
A Virgins, you say?
Located around a person.
A boy.
You refer to the prophecy of the one who will bring balance to the Force. You believe it's this boy?
Remember, Obi-Wan, if the prophecy is true, your apprentice is the only one who can bring the Force back into balance.
I see you becoming the greatest of all Jedi. Even more powerful than Master Yoda.
Is it true that he is the Chosen One?
Are you the one?
The Chosen One's a myth.
Is it? If he is the Chosen One, you discover it now.
And if not?
Then you must realize with his power, this is a very dangerous place for him to be.
What are you?
More things!
So, as you're listening to that, you can kind of hear, I've spliced in some of the movies in there and some of the quotes, and I think one of the biggest ones that I didn't actually even put in there, guys, but it's when Mace Windu, I think he's talking to Yoda, they're on one of the Republic gunships, and he says something of the effect of, did they misread? Was the prophecy misread? And they're talking about the Chosen One. And listen, when you listen to that clip, I mean, you hear Qui-Gon, he's talking about, you know, he's encountered this virgins in the Force, and they think it's this boy, but they're not exactly sure that it's him, right? I mean, Mace is talking about, you know, if this is true, if this prophecy is really true, he is the Chosen One. You hear the son say the same thing in that one episode of The Clone Wars, you know, is this true? Is he really the Chosen One? And I just wonder, Chris and Mark, was the prophecy, was it misread? They even talk about it in here. Did they misread it? Was Luke the Chosen One? You know, was Anakin the one that had to go through all this dark stuff? And then it's up to his son, the true Chosen One. This is the boy we're looking for. This farm boy. This is the true Chosen One. This is the one that's supposed to come up and say no to the Emperor. Thus, creating the whole, you know, obviously the story we know now. But I've always thought that, you know, I've always in the back of my mind thought, you know, there could be a different Chosen One. Was that prophecy misread? And that's just something to make you guys think. What do you think, Chris? Was it misread, or you think Anakin was the true Chosen One?
Well, before, you know, after we got all six movies were done, before we had the Clone Wars, I've had discussions about this. And, I mean, it's a fine line. It really is line, because to me it's like, when you look at it that way, Luke really is the Chosen One, because he turns his father back. But then Lucas has stated that Anakin and Darth Vader, that it was about him.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that he came back to the good side and killed the Emperor, that made him the Chosen One. But to me, you can go either way with it. I mean, I'm good with either one. I really, to be honest, I kind of like the idea of Luke being the Chosen One more than I do Anakin, because of how it happened. I mean, yeah, he did come back and he did kill the Emperor, so therefore he restored the balance, but he couldn't have done that without Luke. So,
right, yeah, that's kind of the same way I'm kind of looking at it. Like, of course, he was the one that killed the Emperor. But, you know, it was done because Luke was the Chosen One, and Anakin finally saw, or Darth Vader, you know, finally saw or was able to break through that and kill the Emperor. Mark, I know this is kind of putting you on the spot. Any comments on that?
Yeah, no, it's not putting me on the spot. I actually get asked this all the time, especially like when I meet new people, you know, that are into Star Wars or at least into it. And I'm on the same fence that both of you guys are on. I mean, I think at the end for me, I have to say, yeah, it was Vader, but like what Chris said, the redemption would have not happened without Luke. But there's still such that, in my eyes, that mirror with the both of them, you know, both whiny kids, and then they both develop, you know, there's that synergy that they both have throughout, you know, now that we've seen all of the movies, well, you know, the six that have been out so far. But, I mean, I think if you could have someone debate it either way, the whole redemption it's one of those things, it's difficult to say. I'm still on the fence of, yes, it was Vader, because once we got the prequels and we found out all the stuff from the beginning to the end, and then, you know, what we know about when Luke got in the switch and the whole Sebastian Shaw, the helmet, the whole nine yards, I still say I'm going to have to say, yes, Vader was the chosen one. But I think there's an extremely strong argument for saying it could be Luke, or it could have been Luke, or possibly the synergy of the two of them, you know, is this...
Yeah,
I guess the
yeah.
chosen two. Obviously, that's not, you know, out there, but I think it's a fair argument that anybody could sit there and go back and forth and point out things from this movie or that movie. But what you just said, I actually never realized that until you just said it about Mace and Yoda on the gunship, and that just passed by me watching it, and I've seen
right.
it, geez, a million times. But it's true, they did kind of throw all those little hints in there that,
they did,
wait,
yeah.
maybe we're wrong.
Yeah. Did we misread the prophecy? You know, is it somebody else? Is it supposed to be somebody else? So that was, like I said, and you just pointed it out, Mark. I mean, that was a huge one. That was a big line to where you go, whoa, wait a second. You know, that kind of throws a wrench in the whole thing. But, you know, there's all these other little clues that we've seen in the Clone Wars with the son, that the Mortis episodes. You got, like I said, Qui-Gon. He questions it a lot. He talks about it, you know, reading the prophecy and stuff like that. So
another point.
I don't know. Go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say, another interesting look at it is, well, just because Anakin went to the dark side, that doesn't make him not the chosen one. He still could be the chosen one just because he didn't follow the correct path. It was still up to him to do with his life.
True. Yeah. Yeah, that's another point, too. I just think that it is debatable, and that's kind of what I was looking at.
You
could put a debate that it could be Luke, yeah. So
that'd be an interesting discussion. That's something that I'd love to ask Steve Sansweet, his opinion on that, plus George Lucas, if I ever get to meet George Lucas.
Yeah, there you go.
Who is the chosen one, George?
Yeah, so that's it. That's this week's things that make you go, hmm. So let's. You guys ready to get into... our top five, Chris?
Yeah, let's get
all right, let's do it.
Interrupt this podcast for a very special message. If you email yodasnewsanniversary@gmail.com right now and are the first person to email them, you will get a Yoda's News prize pack, which includes one exclusive Yoda's News 10-year anniversary patch and one Yoda's News 10-year anniversary art print. Again, the person that emails yodasnewsanniversary@gmail.com to tell them they heard it on this podcast will win. Transition over.
Hello there. You're listening to the Sarlacc Pit Podcast, an elegant podcast for a more civilized age. You can go about your business. Move along. Move along.
All right, like I said earlier, guys, we're going to be talking about our top five moments with Emperor Palpatine / Darth Sidious, however the scene comes out. Chris, I got five. You got five. Mark, you're welcome to hang around and talk if you want. But as we go through this, Chris, you want me to start off with my number five?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, here we go. Number five, I'm going to take you guys to episode 3 and one of my favorite scenes. And this is with actually at this point. He is still, as far as Anakin knows, just Palpatine. So.
Did you ever hear the tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise?
No.
I thought not. It's not a story the Jedi would tell you. It's a Sith legend. Darth Plagueis the Dark Lord of the Sith, so powerful and so wise, he could use the Force to influence the midichlorians to create life. He had such a knowledge of the dark side, he could even keep the ones he cared about from dying.
He could actually save people from death.
The dark side of the Force is a pathway to many abilities some consider to be unnatural.
What happened to him?
He became so powerful. The only thing he was afraid of was losing his power, which eventually, of course, he did. Unfortunately, he taught his apprentice everything he knew. Then his apprentice killed him in his sleep. Ironic. He could save others from death, but not himself.
Is it possible to learn this power?
Not from a Jedi.
Oh, dude, I'd love the ending of that, how he says that. Turn to Anakin and telling him, not from a Jedi. It's a classic line. This is my number five. And this is Ian McDiarmid just, he's such a presence in the whole saga. And I think a lot of people would say in the prequel trilogy, he's the one that kind of carried the prequel trilogy. And this is another one of those scenes where he's just eating it up. You're glued to everything he's saying. He's telling you the story of Darth Plagueis. He's telling you stuff that you know, like as he's saying it, and he's talking about how he killed his master in your sleep. And you know, as an audience member, you're listening to this and you know it's him talking about himself. And Anakin doesn't know that yet, but he's getting a lesson right here. And you can tell Anakin is deeply into this. He wants to know what's going on. He wants to know how this can be done. And, this is such a great scene too, that they made part of this scene, part of the trailer, if you remember that, that one particular line actually put as part of one of the trailers for episode 3. So, you know, that this scene carried a lot of weight. So that being my number five is Anakin and Palpatine at the opera, or whatever you want to call that, Chris. That's my number five. I don't know if that's on your list or not, but
we'll see.
That's one of my favorites. Oh, okay. Uh-oh, we'll see. A little FBI clue there. Mark, one of my favorite scenes. What do you think of that scene?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is how much I hate Hayden Christensen. That scene just proves it. As it's playing and I'm listening to it, all I'm thinking of is how horrible he is as an actor and how much he ruined, you know.
I give him a pass on that one.
That character for me in the movies. Yeah, I mean, it's just the way he talks. It's just, I've never been a fan of his ever. And I just think his, you know, it's a shame because we're talking about Palpatine. That would probably have been my number one scene if I was doing this with you guys. Because that line, not from a Jedi, I use that twice. Three times a week, just in like having at the dinner table, Dad, you know, what about this? And I'll go, not from a Jedi. And you know, it's just that one line really just, it was one of my favorite lines, of the entire movie. So that would have been my number one. But yeah, you know, Hayden ruins it for me.
Oh, there you go. You know, I give him a pass on this one. I mean, like, I'm not a huge fan of his either in some of his stuff, but this one I was okay with. Chris, what do you got? What's your number five?
Okay, my number five. I don't have mine in any particular order except my number one. So,
but okay.
This is my number five spot.
Good, Anakin, good. Kill him. Kill him now.
I shouldn't.
Do it.
You did well, Anakin.
Anakin. He was too dangerous to be kept alive.
Yes, but he was an unarmed prisoner. I shouldn't have done that. It's not the Jedi way.
It is only natural. He cut off your arm. You wanted revenge. It wasn't the first time, Anakin.
Okay. I mean, this scene, he's sitting there enjoying this crap, right?
Yeah.
Enjoying this fight. And then he just gets so serious, kill him. And the look on Dooku's face is like, huh?
Oh, yeah. He didn't see that coming.
And then that line, do it. But then as soon as it's over with, he tries to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
You had no choice. You know, I'm like,
right.
Give me a break. Come on, he's playing you. But he plays that so beautifully. And in this particular scene, Anakin really doesn't have much talking, but this is our first glimpse into this movie where it's just full-on Palpatine. And
right.
You're going to see him go dark. You're going to see him ups and downs, his emotions. And, like you said, this guy just played this in this movie by far the best.
Yeah, that's what's so good about it is he goes in and out, and he gives you a little glimpse of Sidious, and he jumps right back out.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, he's talking to Anakin. He's okaying it with Anakin. He's saying, "Hey, no, it's okay. You know, he was going to kill you, and this and that. And you want a revenge, and it's okay. You know, he's giving him outs on how he's feeling. You know, he sees that dark side coming out, and he's just." You can tell, you know, Palpatine is licking his chops on that. You know,
he's planting
here he comes.
In Anakin's head, you know, every little seed. And Anakin's, I shouldn't have done it. He was unarmed. I'm like, yeah, you shouldn't have done it, but you're listening to him. You know, you're letting him get in your head.
Yeah, exactly. Mark, any comments on that one?
It's another good one as well. I mean, that scene for me just really brought out, you know, what a master manipulator he was, where,
right,
you know,
right.
he got him to not only do what he wanted, and then after he starts to feel remorse after, he's like, no, it's all right, you're cool, man. Yeah, no problem. Remember, he cut your arm off. You had to do it, you know? He
yeah.
just keeps, you know, manipulating him, and, you know, it's a good scene. It's a very good scene.
Yeah. No, it's definitely, not on my list, but definitely be an honorable mention for me. I take you guys on my number four to the same movie. Actually, we're going to stay in episode 3. And again, some more masterful play by actually Darth Sidious now.
Name of the Galactic Senate of the Republic. You're under arrest, Chancellor.
Are you threatening me, Master Jedi?
The Senate will decide your fate.
I am a Senate.
Not yet.
It's treason, then.
You are under arrest, my lord.
Anakin, I told you it would come to this. I was right. The Jedi are taking over!
The oppression of the Sith will never return. You have lost.
No. 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 You are gone! He's a traitor!
He is the traitor!
God, I've become too weak.
I am going to end this once and for all.
You can't. He must stand trial.
He has control of the Senate and the courts. He's too dangerous to be left alive.
I'm too weak. Oh, don't kill me. Please.
It's not the Jedi way.
Please, no.
I need him.
Please, no. No.
Again, guys, more masterful stuff from from Palpatine there. You know what? And I love how this starts out is he is on his throne there, and then, you know, here comes Mace and everything. And this, again, another scene from the trailer where you get this guttural howl or scream from as he spins and lands and starts to fight. I mean, I just love that scene right there. And then he goes in and out, and he's able to play on the emotions of Anakin. And like I said, he goes in and out, and he's at one moment he's weak and feeble, and then he's showing his power on the next second. And the way they go in and out like that is just fantastic scene. Love that scene. My number four, I mean, you can see that's my number four. There's got some good stuff coming up. But Chris, one of my favorite scenes with Palpatine there, him revealing himself and finally getting Anakin to do what he wants.
I'm going to pass it to Mark, see what he thinks.
That was actually one of the funnier scenes for me. I actually had to mute while you were playing it because when he says, "Go, no, I'm weak, don't hurt me," it makes me laugh out loud every time.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. You know, he's playing it, but for some reason, doesn't matter how many times I hear it or watch it, that makes me laugh. And I think I can't look at it in a serious nature because it just makes me laugh.
It's crazy to think that even Anakin fell for that. I mean, to like you said, it just sounds so funny, like it's fake. And then Anakin fell for it, man. Hook, line, and sinker. All he was thinking about was, damn, this dude is my key to saving Padme, you know, and that's all he was focusing on. And so he had to save him. So
even with Mace Windu pointing that out to him, don't listen to him.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. It makes you wonder if Yoda was there, if things would have been different, but who knows.
Right, right. Yeah, all right. No, no.
My number four.
Good, good.
Okay, here we go.
It's a Sith legend. Darth Plagueis, the Dark Lord of the Sith.
Okay, I'm not going to play the whole thing since we already went through it with Matt, but this particular scene, it's just... It's so interesting when you're watching Palpatine to see that as it's almost like with every word he says, he's seeing how far he can go with Anakin. Mm-hmm. See where Anakin's at. See how much, you know, it's just like he's just stepping it very lightly, very lightly. And he just keeps going further and further, and Anakin's falling for it. And he gets to it to where he says, save people from death, and he's got him.
Right.
He's got his attention, and that's the only thing he cares about. It's because he's already having the nightmares about Padme. So it's just, you know, Palpatine is just manipulating him every which way he goes. And Anakin is just basically as stupid and falling for it.
Yeah, it's much like the scene I just played. It's Anakin not, he's focused on one thing, right? And he doesn't see anything else. I mean, Palpatine's telling the story, and he doesn't even catch on that, you know, how would he know all this, you know? How did he, and he's just so blinded by that, by his quest to save Padme, that he doesn't even see that. Palpatine's talking about himself. It's crazy, crazy. I'm going to go for my number three, guys. I'm going to take you guys to the Clone Wars, and one of my favorite scenes of the whole TV show. I mean, I'm talking all 5+ seasons when we finally get some of this bonus content, but probably one of my favorite scenes of the whole series so far.
I sense a presence. A presence I haven't felt since. Master. Master.
I am most impressed to see you have survived your injuries.
I used your training, Master, and I have built all this in hopes of returning to your side.
How unfortunate that you are attempting to deceive me.
Master?
You have become a rival! Remember, the first and only reality of the Sith,
There can only be two. And you are no longer my apprentice. You have been replaced.
Have mercy. Please, please.
There is no mercy. Do not worry. I'm not going to kill you. I have other uses for you.
That is some good stuff right there, coming from the Clone Wars, Chris. And like I said, it was one of my favorite. We're talking about lightsaber battles. I mean, that was top right there. I mean, that rivals some of the live action stuff, what they did with that fight. Savage, I love the throwback where Maul senses, he says that, I sense something. And then all of a sudden, boom, there's Sidious right there. And then the fight's on. Savage is killed. And then Mark, you talked about Maul earlier. It looks like he might not be done yet. So some really good stuff going on there. Great fight. Great stuff from Palpatine. Probably the last time we'll hear Ian Abercrombie as Palpatine. Looks like Tim Curry's going to be taking over if we see him again in the Rebels. So just some great stuff. What do you think, Mark? Maul coming back. What do you think about that?
Yeah, possibly. I'm hoping for it. I think he was literally cut short. And we should cut that a bit more from him. So, you know, he was one of my favorite characters. And I just did a review recently on that Cyberleg Maul from Gentle Giant. And it just reminded me what a great character he was. And he just didn't get enough, get enough face time.
Yeah. Chris, you got to save comments?
No, I didn't do anything with the Clone Wars. And you're right. This was fantastic. The fight here was just like, oh man, here we go. Palpatine's just. You get to really see Palpatine, right. You know, switch over and go into it, just like in Episode 3. So, yeah, this was just really, really amazing. And to get to see that at Celebration on the big screen was nice.
Oh, yeah, that's right, huh? Yeah. Yeah, no, it's always been one of my favorites ever since I saw that episode. Just a great episode, a great fight, and one of my favorites of the whole saga, so... Number 3 for you, Chris. What do you got?
Okay, here's my number 3.
You are under arrest, my lord.
Anakin, I told you it would come to this. I was right. The Jedi are taking over.
The oppression of the Sith will never return. You have lost.
No. No. No.
Okay, I'm not going to play the whole thing again. But basically the same thing you had where they first walk into arrest him and just all of this right here, he's just playing Anakin like a stinking fiddle, and Anakin's falling for it even though Mace Windu is telling him don't listen to him, he's too dangerous to be left alive, and, you know, he's flat out telling him. Of course, Palpatine used that same line about Dooku earlier in the film, but yeah, just a fantastic scene, and Palpatine's just playing it up. And then when he morphs himself into the dark side, yeah, where he gets, you know, all this damage and everything, I'm like, come on. He's Anakin, he's playing you.
Yeah, he doesn't see it, man. He doesn't see it. He's got Padme on the brain, man. It's, you know how it is, man. You know how chicks are.
Yep, yep.
You don't hear nothing. Oh, shoot. Hey, number two, I'm going to take you guys to Return of the Jedi. I'm going to bring in some OT Emperor for you guys. Check this out.
I'm looking forward to completing your training. In time, you will call me Master. By now, you must know your father can never be turned from the dark side. So will it be with you.
Soon I'll be dead, and you with me.
Perhaps you referred to the imminent attack of your rebel fleet.
Yes. I assure you, we are quite safe from your friends here.
Your overconfidence is your weakness.
Your faith in your friends is yours.
Everything that has transpired has done so according to my design. It is quite safe from your pitiful little band.
Oh, I'm afraid the deflector shield will be quite operational when your friends arrive. You want this, don't you? The heat is swelling in you now. Take your Jedi weapon. Give in to your anger. It is unavoidable. It is your destiny. You, like your father, are now mine. Good. I can feel your anger. Strike me down with all of your hatred, and your journey towards the dark side will be complete. Now, fulfill your destiny, and take your father's place at my side. So be it, Jedi. Young fool. Only now, at the end, do you understand? Your feeble skills are no match for the power of the dark side. You had paid the price for your lack of vision. Now, young Skywalker, you will die.
It's this whole last act with the Emperor and Luke and the banter they have, and it's so great. I mean, this is Ian McDiarmid just chewing scenery up again. I mean, he owns his character right now, and the banter that he has with Luke here, I mean, he's mocking him at certain points, like he's calling his pitiful band, and the way he's saying it's just dripping with just nastiness, right? And Luke tries to counter, right? And he tries to come back with quips and tries to stand up to him. And the Emperor just comes right back, right on top of him. Every time he says something, you know, you're overconfidence, you know? And then he says, oh, your faith in your friends is yours. And Luke is just like, oh man, everything I say, this guy's, he's all over me, you know? And, of course, finishes it at the end with the lightning and finally saying, so be it, Jedi. So, it's just that whole last act with the Emperor and Luke and the banter they have. It's such a great scene. Wonderfully acted by both. And again, like I said, McDiarmid, hugely underrated, I think, in both the prequel trilogy and the sequel trilogy. I mean, I'm not saying he needed like a Academy Award or anything, but, why not? I think he was hugely underrated. Just some fantastic work. So that would be my number two, was Return of the Jedi, the end there, Chris.
Yeah, I'm going to wait. I'll pass it over to Mark.
No problem. I want to wait. Mark, what do you think of that? You like a little OT Emperor there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's another great classic scene in there. I mean, I think almost all of his scenes, and what I was thinking to take it completely off topic, is I started thinking back to our discussion on The Chosen One, and then hearing all these clips about the manipulation and how he manipulated both sides. I'm like, huh, I bet you could have some argument for, was the Emperor the Chosen One? Like, not in the reference to bring balance of the Force, but, you know, in regards to what he brought to the whole series, you know, he was like a master manipulator of both sides.
Right.
Yes, he was. Yes.
Yeah, he was from the very beginning, you know, from like we saw from episode one, this dude was on point. Actually, before episode one, I mean, this guy was making this his plan. And, you know, it's like at this point in this clip, it's been many, many years, and he's so confident in himself. I mean, you never see a lightsaber come out. He's just so. I think Luke is right. He's just overconfident. But, you know, who's not going to be? This guy has been dominating the galaxy for a long, long time. So Mm-hmm. Just some great stuff. Love that. Love that OT stuff. Chris, you're number two.
All right, my number two. And this is 39-second clip, and here we go.
I have waited a long time for this moment, my little green friend. At last, the Jedi are no more.
Not if anything to say about it. I have.
All right. The parts here with Yoda, you could just see he is just so much enjoying this. This is deep, just insidious laugh. Just put it that way. I mean, he's just so into it. He's just loving every second of it. And later on when he's fighting Yoda and he's hanging on, Yoda had knocked him off to where he's just hanging, and he's just steadily the whole time laughing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just having a ball with this. He has finally got everything to where he wants it, and everything's playing out the way he foresaw it, and you know, he's just relishing every second of it right now.
Yeah, you know what I love about it is like he's happy. I mean, he's cackling. He's so happy at this point of what's happened, what he's created. You know, he's finally able to get rid of this dual life he's been, you know, going through the last few years, and through the
he could just let it all out.
He can just let it out, man. He can just, and he's just relishing in it. He's loving it. You know, he's finally gonna go after Yoda. Talking about his little green friend, you know, great line, and the cackling, the banter they have back and forth, the fight. It's just, yeah, it's like I said, I think it's this finally he's able to just be himself, and he's relishing in it, and he's loving it, and he's having a good time, and he's going to take it out on Yoda. So yeah, great scene. Another one of my honorable mentions. If I would have had some, that was definitely one that I had thought about. Mark, what do you think about that scene?
I think you two nailed it on the head. All the thoughts I had, you both just said. I mean, I really don't have anything unique to say that you guys didn't already say. For once, no, I'm speechless, but don't tell my wife.
Well, I'm curious to see what your number one is, Matt.
Yeah, my number one, we're going to take you back to episode 3. And there's, like I said earlier, I mean, there's so much good stuff going on in episode 3. And this is, just tends to be my favorite. Every time I see this, I just kind of sit back and watch the masterful manipulation of Emperor Palpatine, Sidious, whatever you want to call him again.
Let me help you to know the subtleties of the Force.
How do you know the ways of the Force?
My mentor taught me everything about the Force, even the nature of the dark side.
You know the dark side?
Anakin, if one is to understand the great mystery, one must study all its aspects, not just the dogmatic narrow view of the Jedi. If you wish to become a complete and wise leader, you must embrace a larger view of the Force. Be careful, Jedi, Anakin. Only through me can you achieve a power greater than any Jedi. Learn to know the dark side of the Force, and you will be able to save your wife from certain death.
What did you say?
Use my knowledge, I beg you.
You're the Sith Lord.
I know what's been troubling you. Listen to me. Don't continue to be a pawn of the Jedi Council. Ever since I've known you, you've been searching for a life greater than that of an ordinary Jedi. A life of significance, of conscience. Are you going to kill me?
I would certainly like to.
I know you. I can feel your anger. It gives you focus, makes you stronger.
Yes.
I'm going to turn you over to the Jedi Council.
Of course, you should. But you're not sure of that, eh?
Tell you what, guys, like I said, it's one of these scenes that I always watch, and I just, you know, this is where you really go, man, McDermott really stepped up for this one, because, first of all, it's finally time for him to come out, if you will, you know, to finally tell Anakin what's going on. He's decided this is it, you know, the time is now, it's time to turn him, it's now or never, and he goes for it. And he has a couple of lines as he monologues here. And one of the first ones is, "Only through me can you achieve a power greater than any Jedi." And you can see Anakin, and he obviously, he wants to know this stuff. I mean, he's already made mention that he wants to be the most powerful Jedi ever. So right there, boom, he's got Anakin hooked right there. Got the hook in, set it, let's go. Next line. And my favorite, here's the one that really, and through all this, I mean, he's lying to Anakin, you know, he's talking about cheating death, you know, and saving Padme. And I think, yeah, obviously it's a lie. He's trying to get him over to the dark side, but the line that really, really makes it for me is when he says, "I can feel your anger," and they show a shot of Palpatine. It's a shot of him, his face, and as he's saying that, his eyes kind of close and his facial expression, and you actually see, like, you can see that he's feeling it, you know, and this is the dark side coming through. This is how he can feel anger. I mean, they talk about all the time, you know, anger, hate, suffering, and you can actually see Palpatine just, he's soaking in this anger, like it's giving him power. And I just love that scene right there, especially when he says that. I mean, talk about seeing what he's saying. And you can just feel the anger and just flowing through Palpatine. He's loving it. He's relishing in it. And it ends with Palpatine going, "Hey, well, if you got to go to the Jedi Council, you got to go. What are you going to do? You know, but here it is. Here I am. I'm out there. I can help you. It's on you now." And he's so confident that Anakin's going to make the right choice. And it's only until we get to that other scene we talk about where he uses that. And of course he uses Anakin and he plays on his emotions and his love for Padme. And the deed is finally done on the earlier scene. But this scene, wow. Never get tired of seeing that. Knocked it out of the park. Ian McDiarmid, one of my finest moments for him. So that's my number one. Him finally coming out to Anakin and revealing who he actually is. What do you think, Chris?
Well, that's not on my list, but to me, this scene really shows how mixed up Anakin is, because how could you not see this coming, Anakin? As soon as he gets started into it, it's like he's in shock. I'm like, hello? He's just telling you about how he learned from talking about Darth Plagueis, basically saying, "Yes, I killed my master." In so many words, he didn't just outright say it, but I'm like, hello? But, I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. That part there where he's soaking in all that anger and he's just relishing all that coming in. It makes you wonder, too, when you're watching it. I kind of always thought that since Anakin ignited his lightsaber, what if he actually went after Palpatine there instead of deciding to go to the council first? What would have Palpatine done with it?
I think it shows right there that Palpatine was so sure that this was the right moment that he wasn't even worried about Anakin coming after him. I think he was just so confident that he had finally picked the right time, and the circumstances were that he was pretty confident that Anakin wasn't going to do anything, and he was going to make Anakin think, like,
yeah,
you know, let's take a time out. I got to think about what just happened here, because this is huge. So
He's basically making Anakin think he's making the decision when he's not.
Yeah, right. Like you said, at the very end, he's like, "Yeah, you know, you must do what you have to do. You know, if you got to go to the Jedi Council, go ahead." But he's got it all worked out. So, Mark, what do you think? My number one there, one of my favorite scenes, him revealing himself to Anakin.
Yeah, I think it's one of the most iconic scenes of, you know, of the movie, if not, you know, all of the prequels. I think it often it gets overshadowed, because a lot of times when I hear about that scene, at least in my circle, it's people complaining about how quickly he goes from, I'm going to kill you and turn you into, you know, right, kneeling down and turning to the dark side. And a lot of the people that I had a discussion with aren't what I'll call quote-unquote hardcore, not to put a title on it, but more casual viewers, you know. Mm-hmm. After that movie, it was a discussion I had with a lot of circle of friends, not the collecting circle of friends, the, you know, outside of work slash social friends that just, oh, I like Star Wars, but not like all of us like Star Wars. And they're like, oh, that scene when Palpatine was there. I'm like, oh yeah, go ahead, arrest me, blah, blah, blah. Now I'm going to kill you. Oh, now I'm a dark side guy. It all happened in 5 minutes and it was unrealistic. And my response to them always is, no, it didn't. The entire, you know, everything leading up to that, it was every little thing, every was a notch in his head. And half the scenes that you just guys went through with, you know, trying to save Padme. I mean, end of the day, he was whipped. He was like your buddy that, you know, hey, we're all going to the bar. No, I got to stay home with my girlfriend. You want, you know, friends.
Yeah.
That's the way Anakin was through it all, where he had a one-track mind, and it was admirable. He wanted to save Padme, but, you know, obviously it led to where he went. And it wasn't that one moment, which was great, and it was, you know, he was just sitting there with him, just putty in his hands. It didn't matter. He knew exactly where that was going to go with that scene. He knew that he was never going to get arrested. He knew he wasn't going to go ahead and strike him. And it's, again, back to the manipulator role of it. But I think people don't, you know, a more casual person didn't see it that way. And for some people, they think that scene, quote, ruined, you know, how do you become Darth Vader like that when it obviously isn't happening in a 3-minute scene.
No, I mean, it all started in episode 2, much less the very beginning of episode 3 was the first really jabs that he was really punching it to him. So, yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was like round 12 of a blockbuster fight. But you know, for a more casual person, I could see where they're not following every little nuance like we are. Even though they're part of the story, you know, there's so much more that goes into it, especially if you've only seen it once. Sometimes you'll miss stuff.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And we've all seen it, what, you know, dozens of times probably.
Of course, dozens, yeah, this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris, why don't you finish it up with number one?
My number one. This probably won't be any surprise, but here we go. It's a 46-second clip.
Good. Heat has made you powerful. Now, fulfill your destiny and take your father's place at my side.
Never. I'll never turn to the dark side.
So be it, Jedi. If you will not be turned, you will be destroyed.
All right. This would just basically bookend what you started. Like you said, the banter between Luke and back and forth. And, I mean, I loved it. It was perfectly played. And then you get down to this part, and Palpatine's still thinking he's in complete control. And he's like, okay, this didn't go quite like I planned it, but I could still work this out and pound Luke in. And when he finally goes after Luke like he does, he had Vader so whipped and so beaten down that he never suspected that Vader could turn on him. When the bottom line is, basically, the Emperor is the one that caused him to turn, because he started, you know, like he did, he just went after Luke and was gonna kill him. I mean, he was going to kill him, and then it was up to Vader to wake up at the last second. So, I mean, and you get to see the ending of all of his giggling and cackling, and into this scene, and just that good, you know, he's relishing every single bit. He's just like, he's playing cards, and he's the only one. He knows what everybody's got in their hands, and, you know, he's just, like you said, he is overconfident. And Luke hit it on the head. He was overconfident.
Yeah. And I think he was a little surprised, too, that Luke did. he was genuinely thinking he was going to be able to turn Luke. I mean, especially after Vader talked about his sister, you know. Uh-huh. I mean, he thought there's his new apprentice, you know. It's a young, powerful kid and a Skywalker. I mean, this guy was going to rule the galaxy for forever now. So, and I just wonder if he ever figured out the way to cheat death. I mean, that was never really discussed. We don't know. But the way he was going and the way going after Luke to take over for Vader, who knows, maybe this guy figured out a way to cheat death, or at least dying in a natural way.
Yeah, I always
not getting thrown over.
Yeah. I always loved the look on his face, though, when Luke did that, and he's just like, fine, so be it. You know, you can see he's pissed. And he's like, okay, step two. You're absolutely right, but I don't think they ever did go past episode 3 as far as learning to cheat death, for the simple fact that Padme was already gone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Palpatine said she was gone. She wasn't at the time, but
right.
I don't know if, you know, when we get to the dark, I mean, we're bringing in the EU here, but you come into the Dark Horse comics when they brought that up, the Dark Empire. Palpatine did learn. He learned how to, he created clones and learned how to just change his essence into a younger body, which mm-hmm. in a way sounds ridiculous, but then when you, Star Wars universe, it works. So, you know, what?
Yeah. Well, the other, just to finish it off, too, is at the end there, like, he might have been a little surprised, but he was able to turn it around and be fine with it in just a matter of seconds. It's like, okay, you're not going to turn out. Well, I guess I'm going to stick with Vader. Boom, and I'm going to kill you. So he didn't relish on it at all. He didn't like, oh, come on, are you sure? You know, it's just like, hey, all right. Especially when he said, a Jedi before me, that's when Palpatine goes, oh, you know, I'm thinking, you know, that's where he clicked, like, there's no way I'm going to turn this guy. I'm just going to have to kill him now. Otherwise, he's going to come after me. So he was able to, he gave it the shot. He gave it the old college try, tried to do it, thought he had it, didn't have it. Okay, good, you're dead. And that's how great the Emperor was, able to bounce
plan
back.
B.
Yeah. So there you go, guys. There's our top five moments with Darth Sidious, Emperor Palpatine. Mark, thanks for hanging out with us for a little while, telling us about everything that's going on. Can you just go ahead and recap everything that's going on with Yoda's News?
Oh, yeah, just all month long. Like I said, we'll be giving away great items, everything from Sideshow Premium format items to mini bust, jumbo figures, to one-of-a-kind items like the mini Boba Fett, our patches, our art prints, and our T-shirts. And it's going to be a fun month. You know, they'll have a little bit of a lull for 4 or 5 days, like always when we're in New York, because I'm so busy doing the toy stuff. And we've got staffers back here, but a lot of the stuff is just with the giveaway is the one thing out of all the projects at Yoda's News that I handle myself, 90% of it. But we'll kick a few off before I head up there, and then we'll have a few there. But it's going to be a fun month, and, you know, the last 2 weeks of it, I'm really going to be pulling out all the stops. We're going to do some really nice bundles where you're going to get, like, you know, a Coda Bakia piece, a Gentle Giant piece, and a Sideshow piece, all to one winner.
That's awesome.
We're going to have some fun trivia nights coming up, and I'm sure Chris will enjoy those. We'll actually be using his book.
Nice.
I shouldn't have said that. No, we're not going to use Chris's book. So
as long as you don't give the question number, you're good.
There we go. It'll take him too long to go through it. But yeah, we always have fun with the trivia nights where we'll go into a chat room and do some trivia and things like that. So it's just going to be, you know, a fun month. I'm looking forward to, you know, the few more items that we're going to do before I leave and then we get back. And it was great chatting with you guys tonight. I wish I could do it more often, but it was fun. Also reminiscing back on the good Palpatine moments. And I did think of one I wanted to add in before we end, that if I had to pick my favorite moment, it would be from Robot Chicken.
I totally forgot about that. Yeah, of course.
I would have probably mixed that in my top five.
The
you know,
telephone
what
call.
What the hell is an aluminum falcon?
That, aluminum falcon, there you go.
You're right.
I like it.
Absolutely.
Darth Vader.
I gotta take this. Hold on. Vader, how's my favorite Sith? Whoa. Just slow down. Huh? What do you mean they blew up the Death Star? Oh! Who's they? What the hell is an aluminum falcon? Okay, so who's left?
Because I still get questions when I wear that t-shirt out. People just look at me like they have six different heads. And they just have no idea because I have the novelty shirt that came out with a couple years ago that's in the Star Wars logo, but it says, what the hell is an aluminum falcon? but yeah, I would definitely have that mixed in with one of my favorite moments. But yeah, I appreciate having me on. I'd like to get on as often as I can. Unfortunately, it can't be that much. But, you know, maybe I'll check back again next month after I see what's in Toy Fair and fill you guys in on the toy aspect of what's coming.
That yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. And like I said, those of you listening, got to get over to Aaron's News. Fantastic prizes. You don't want to miss out on that. Chris, anything before we go? Any notifications you want to send out?
Well, one thing is I'm going to be sending Mark some autographed books that he's going to throw in some of his bundles. So
cool.
You might get a chance to win an autographed copy of my trivia book. But
yeah, definitely we're going to be bundling them. Actually, we're going to make when we get them, we're going to bundle some of the exclusive stuff with them. So you'll not only win Chris's book, but you'll also be able to go ahead and take home an art print and a patch. We'll do some cool bundles, and we'll have some trivia contests. And in turn, you'll win the trivia book after. So we'll have a cool mix. And so definitely check that out. We'll be posting the information up on the site and all the pages.
Good stuff. What else, Chris? Anything else?
Now just tell everybody where to find us. You can get to podcasts through iTunes, or you can listen to it straight on the page at galacticfinder.com and then click on the podcast page. You can download it straight from that page or listen to it right on the page. Or, like we said, iTunes. And also on facebook.com/SarlaccPitPodcast. Twitter, it's at SarlaccPitCast. And then all of our other pages that we got going on with Classic Star Wars on Facebook and Lego Star Wars and beyond. We've added in some 80s pages. We got Toys from the 80s, which is doing super. And then also 1980s Pop Culture, which has been a lot of fun. And, I mean, we're just having a great time with Facebook and just have so many people interactive on all of our pages.
Yeah, definitely. Thank everybody for following us on Twitter and Facebook and all that. And stay tuned for more good stuff coming up. So for Mark and Chris, my name is Matt. Thank you for making us part of your Star Wars day. And we will see you guys next time in the Sarlacc Pit. Yeah, the Aluminum Falcon. Just what the hell is an Aluminum Falcon? That's a great scene, huh? Good stuff.
Thank you for joining us on the Sarlacc Pit, the official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and YodasNews.com. Star Wars, its logo, and all things in the Star Wars universe are the property of Lucasfilm Limited. All rights reserved. All original content within this podcast, unless otherwise indicated, is the intellectual property of GalacticBinder.com and YodasNews.com.